We're there. My gospel. If you were at the men's meeting the other week, you got a foretaste of this, so I changed plenty of this. You won't recognize much of it, Mike. Because I just quickly taught this lesson at the men's meeting. Naturally, whenever you plan a lesson like this, the people that you really want to hear it don't attend. And that, of course, being the case today, but so isn't that a funny thing? It would always happen. But I'm going to go on with it anyway, because it's a lesson that really needs to be taught. If you open to 2 Timothy chapter 2 in verse 8, Paul he mentions the my gospel three times in your Bible. And says three different things about my gospel. And we're going to deal with all three. The first time, and you might have to excuse me this morning, for some reason I seem to have a nose that is running, and it doesn't even have legs. That's my dad's old joke. Meanwhile, 2 Timothy 2:8, Paul says, and let's just look at the three verses. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. So there's the one mention of it. In Romans chapter 16, verse 25, of course, a verse that most of you are going to be familiar with, Paul says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. And then we have the third mention of it, which is in Romans chapter 2, in verse 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So you have three different applications of the my gospel. And that's going to be, that is, I just know, it's confusing to some people. So you have 2 Timothy 2 verse 8, and that's where we're going to deal first. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead, and that according to my gospel. So what this is going to have to do with the raising of the Lord Jesus Christ, so you that would encompass then what I would call the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And that according to Paul's gospel. So how does that all work out? The first thing that would come to your mind, being a mid-Acts dispensational right divider of a King James Bible, believing in your Bible, you're going to say, well, Paul didn't even come on the scene until Acts chapter 9. So my gospel could not have existed until Paul started preaching it. He neither learned it of man, nor was he taught it, other than by revelation, so that directly from Christ. So the question would be, if it's Paul's gospel that raised Jesus from the dead, how could that have occurred prior to Paul preaching that gospel? That's an interesting conundrum. So that's what we're the first thing we need to deal with, is it not? If you would turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and again, you're not going to be in unfamiliar territory, I hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, if you're going to make a gospel presentation to someone, show them the plan of salvation rather than telling them to ask Jesus into their hearts and let's say a prayer together. Maybe you would consider taking them to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, where Paul gives you what is the my gospel. Also, the Romans 1:16 gospel of Christ, Paul calls it a number of things. The gospel of Christ, the gospel of God, the gospel of grace, my gospel. He's all referring to the same body of information, and that encompasses, first and foremost, how a soul is saved today. And that's what Paul deals with in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Specifically, let's look at verses 3 and 4. Now, for some of you, for some of you, I don't know if you're going to have to consider what I say today, because what I say today may rub a little bit in conflict with some things that you might have heard from other Mid-Acts teachers. And I'll just kind of lay the foundation and set the stage for you. When you rightly divide the word of truth, the tendency is to completely divide Paul's writings away from any other verse of Scripture in the Bible. And we can't do that. Paul uses Scripture from all over the Bible. And he refers to that and uses it as proof of his gospel. And we're going to see that today. Don't make the mistake of thinking that Paul was on an island out there by himself, receiving all new information completely apart and separate from anything that had ever been written in Scripture before. The ideas, the understanding, was completely new. It was a mystery up until Paul got the revelation. But we're going to see that there is, let me give you an example. Isaiah 53 clearly speaks of Christ. And we're going to be there here real soon. Isaiah 53 clearly speaks of the death and being buried and taking sins upon himself and paying for those sins and coming back to life. You can't make excuses for Isaiah 53. I've heard a lot of Mid-Acts teachers try, dispensational teachers try, oh, that didn't mean really that. It was, no, it really does. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to let the Bible say what it says, to whom it says it. And when we read Isaiah 53, we're not going to read into it. We've got 20/20 hindsight, being where we are today in the dispensation of the grace of God, with a tremendous amount of understanding of Pauline Scripture. And so when we look backwards, we can say, oh yeah, that's what they were talking about. Meanwhile, we'll look at Isaiah 53 today too, and they didn't know what they were talking about for the most part. They had a hope. Not sure where their hope was. Meanwhile, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, you're going to find Jesus fulfilled prophetic Scripture by my gospel, the death, burial, and the resurrection. When he died, was buried, and rose again from the dead the third day, he fulfilled prophetic Scripture. And my gospel is exactly this, 1 Corinthians 15:3, for I delivered unto you first that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Which Scriptures would those be? Now, I've heard an awful lot of, if those are the Scriptures contemporary with Paul. According to the Old Testament Scriptures, there you can find where the Old Testament Scripture looks forward to a coming Messiah who takes upon himself the sins of the nation Israel and pays for those sins. And if you would, turn back to Isaiah 53 and let's read the common context of what Isaiah has to say. We're going to read it without reading anything into it and find out. Is it talking about the Lord or is it not? And really, Isaiah 53 isn't long enough that we need to chop it up. I was going to start in verse 8, but let's just start in verse 1 and read the whole chapter. Who hath believed our report? Paul quotes that, does he not, in Romans chapter 10. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and the root out of a dry ground. That, of course, the condition of Israel. And he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid it at, as were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. What are we reading about? What would the first thing come to your mind? I'm seeing the Lord here. With 20/20 hindsight, I'm seeing the Lord. He was oppressed. Now, if I'm Isaiah writing this, I've got no idea what I'm talking about, for the most part, other than the promise of a coming Messiah. But he was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. That's prophetic. When Jesus stood before Pilate, he stood silent. All these things are prophecies that came to happen as the Lord went through his earthly ministry and then suffered. He's brought as a lamb to slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And let's start at verse 8 and notice, he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. That would be dead, by the way. If you're cut off from the land of the living, you would be dead. That's the common term for that. In the transgression of my people, for the transgression of my people, he was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Let's just stop right there. What do we just look at in verses 8?